You are listening to the Joshua Segafis Podcast.
Welcome back to the Joshua Segafis Podcast, the only podcast that teaches you how to be truly alpha. If you're ready to level up to succeed at dating, relationships, business, fitness, and everything else that matters, then stick around. This is exactly where you want to be.
This episode is brought to you by my flagship dating course, Dating in the Wild, The Adult Man Method. Are you sick and tired of a lackluster dating life? Gentlemen, if you know anything about my personal story, you know that I used to suck at dating. I could barely get a text back from a woman, much less a date. I was lonely, depressed, anxious, and felt like my dating life was truly a hopeless endeavor. But I didn't give up, and eventually it all changed. I got to work and figured out how to transform myself from being a total dating zero to an absolute dating hero and succeeded in creating the dating life of my dreams. And in this dating course, you can learn the exact skills, strategies, techniques, and thought processes that I learned over 2.5 years of studying, trial, error, blood, sweat, tears, testing, and lots of hard work. The secret is to learn what women evolved to look for in a mate, and then to develop yourself into the truly masculine, attractive, high-value man who taps directly into the instincts that guide the ever-mysterious female mate selection process. Not only will this course teach you how to transform your dating life, it'll also empower you to become a better, more successful man in the process. So click on the link in the description, grab the course, and get ready to change your dating life forever. B. Wiley, welcome back to the podcast. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. I don't have janky Wi-Fi service like the last time I did when it was storming the last time we talked.
Well, my internet's been acting a little weird here in Springfield, Missouri. It's not the best, but we do what we can, right? I've got the best internet I can get in my area, so we're making do with it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the fourth time we've talked for sure. Maybe the fourth time you've been here. B. Wiley has been on the podcast several times. We've chopped it up, talked about all things related to relationships, dating, masculine, feminine dynamics, the whole gamut. B. Wiley is many things. She's a relationship coach. She's a published author. She's a YouTuber. She is on social media. She's a public speaker. She coaches. You coach men and women, right? Or mostly women. Yeah. Yeah. Men and women on relationships.
But I do coach men too. Yeah.
Gotcha. Men and women on dating relationships. And we always have a great time when we're on here. And today we're going to dive into this topic, how to handle rejection from a woman. And so this topic is specifically mostly for the men here. Women, there's going to be some nuggets in here for you too, but this one's for the men. Handling rejection is never any fun. It sucks. You don't like to get rejected. However, there is this problem. Men hurt themselves. They do themselves wrong by handling it in a completely unattractive way. They handle it like a beta. They don't handle it like a powerful, strong alpha man. And so whenever B. Wiley and I connected, and it's so funny because whenever we just jumped on this call, she was like, you know, I was thinking we have to get together. And I was like, I thought the same thing. It was just like, I just woke up one morning. I was like, I got a message, B. Wiley. We haven't talked in too long. So anyway, so she's going to come in from the woman's perspective, talk about this topic. She has some stuff prepared for men, and I'm just super excited to jump into this. So Brooke, if you want to introduce yourself, just talk about what's been going on with you, anything, feel free, go for it. And then we'll go into this topic.
Okay. I'm Coach B. Wiley. If you don't know, now you know. I talk about dating, relationships, communication. I specialize in communication. That means I can teach you how to communicate with your sister, your friends, your peers, strangers on the street. That's the basis of what I do, because outside of finances, I think that communication, the lack thereof, is the main reason why people go out and cheat and people act a fool when it comes to being in relationships, and it turns into a toxic relationship. So typically and generally what I do is I go on social media and I just give you dating tips, relationship tips, and all that fun stuff. And then I write books about it too. Now, one thing that stood out to me is I've noticed from looking at reality TV to my own personal experience and the experiences of others is that there's a theme here with men not being able to take rejection. I experienced it recently with myself of a friend. I was friends, this personal story. Hopefully he's not listening. If he is, I don't care. But we were friends for 15 years. And before we became buddies, we were casual in our early 20s. We casually dated. I'm 41. Let's put things in perspective. And so in our early 20s, and he had went on to get married, even got a divorce. I had went on to have a child, but we kept in contact and we were literally, or so I thought, we were literally friends. Now, fast forward, you think 15 years, that's a long time. We were friends before my son was even born, and he'll be 16 this year. And so here I am thinking that this is my friend. And then I was like, well, you're supposed to marry your best friend, right? Not having any kind of undertone of I secretly want to be with him. I secretly like him. He doesn't even live in St. Louis. He lives somewhere else. That's hours and hours away. But we're always talking every day. So I was like, well, I've been single for a little while. Maybe I'm supposed to be with my best friend. How dumb is that to think? It's just so stupid. And so, and I'm sorry, it's stupid. So then we tried it for a moment. And then I realized after I asked God, AKA the universe, hey God, is this you? Because something seems like it's missing. From the moment I considered it being a romantic thing and he was down for it, something was off, something was missing. I could not put my finger on it. And I said, God, if this is supposed to be who I'm supposed to be with, show me. And if it's not, show me that. And God rolled out the red carpet and all hell broke loose. And this guy turned on me like a dog in the streets looking for meat. And it was so bad. And I had to have a conversation with him. Like, he started to lash out. He started to call me names. He started to be disrespectful. He started to be sexually inappropriate. And it was just so much. And I just couldn't believe that my friend, this guy was acting this way toward me. He was literally showing me a side of him that I had never seen after I told him, hey, I'm good. I think we should be friends. And the crazier part is he agreed. In the beginning, he agreed, we're gonna be friends. And then we went back to talking every day. And then that's when the disrespect, the name calling, he told me he spit on me a couple times in conversation. It got real toxic. And so what I did is I
decided- This was in your 20s or lately?
This was this year.
That's what I thought.
I ended this relationship in February of this year. So at first, what I tried to do was create some space. Because I was just like, he's making me uncomfortable with this conversation. And every time he's a jokester. And every time I say something, hey, bro, I don't need to hear that. Don't tell me what you're doing with other women. Not because I want to be with you. It's just inappropriate. I don't need to know, Josh, what you and your woman are doing intimately. I don't need those details. Why do I need to know that? What am I going to do with that information? Nothing. It's weird. And so every time I would tell him, hey, I would even have to yell at the top of my lungs to make him stop. He would laugh it off. Everything was a joke. So I said, okay, let me create some space. Well, then when I did that, he would call me at all kind of times of the night. So then I was like, that's odd. So I told him, hey, I'm dating someone. I threw that out there and that made it worse. That made it even worse. Then the train was off the tracks. And that's when he called me all kind of names. That's where the thing on spit on you. And he just was he was angry and he was being mean. And finally, our last conversation, I told him, I said, hey, I created boundaries. I thought we were friends, but I see that maybe you like me and that's okay. But I think we should just be friends, but we can't be friends because you're acting X amount of way with me and I can't receive that. And so long story short, he basically told me that I was awkward and everything's been awkward and it's my fault and have a nice life. And he hung up on me. That was the happiest day of my 2021 outside of my 41st birthday last week. I was so happy to hear him because he was stressing me out. I was venting to my best girlfriend every day. I was venting to my mother because my mother knows our friendship. My other best friend, she knows him personally. And it was just like, why is he acting this way? He literally turn into something else once he realized I didn't want to date him romantically. And I couldn't believe it. And the thing about him is a lot of men are not used to getting rejected. You're used to being the popular guy at school. You're used to getting all the women that you shoot your shot at. That when he had never been turned down by a woman, and he's over 40, he's older than me. He had never been turned down by a woman. And for me to turn him down, it was just like, it made him so angry. And I had never seen a guy get so angry. And he's reached out to me since then. He'll send me random text messages on my birthday. He sent happy birthday, a-hole, with laughing emoji faces. I mean, it's to me, It's odd, it's weird, and it can get dangerous. So I'm still no contact. And look, I'm a life coach. I'm a certified life coach, and I'm no therapist. However, I did look up what a narcissist is. I did, just out of curiosity, textbook. He is textbook, what I read from other psychologists and psychiatrists. He is a textbook narcissist. I'm not deeming him a narcissist. I'm just saying what I read completely aligns with how he acted. And it always said, when a guy is full of his ego and he can't accept rejection, you have to go full on no contact. You can't play that game with him, because we think as ladies, oh, it's cool. He's my friend. He's not going to do anything. He wouldn't do anything. You don't know the other side to him. Every person has good and not so good qualities of us. There's a killer inside of all of us. It's just us who are maintaining the good and pouring into the good versus the bad. And so with him, I was so freaked out by the way he was talking to me and calling me and just being really sexually inappropriate, to where I was like, well, he has my address. Is he going to show up at my house? I mean, I don't know. And so I had to let him know, hey, bro, I'm with somebody, to get him off my back. And even though he did back down, he's still texting. He's still texting me. And so I'm still going to go no contact. So for any of the women who think, which I'll transition into this, who think that you can be friends with a guy, I'm not saying all guys are creepy weirdos. Yeah. However, I am saying that a lot of men weren't raised to have self-discipline, number one, self-respect, number two, they let their ego take over, number three, and that sexual deviant, that beast inside of them, they let it take the wheel. And so you need to be mindful of who you're calling your friend when it comes to a guy, because if he's ever flirted with you, whether it was indirectly or not indirectly or directly, that's a sign he wants to be more than friends. And I'm telling you, I was friends with him for 15 years. And then I had another friend for 10 years who was starting to do the same thing, have the same patterns. And I just had to block him literally 2 weeks ago, because those same patterns. And me and that guy, we had kind of been, I kissed him, but outside of that, I was just like, that was so long ago. It meant nothing to me. I didn't think it meant anything to him, but it did. And he was still low-key holding on to it. I had no idea. And he has a girlfriend. And he's been with his girlfriend for years. When the kiss happened, he wasn't with his girlfriend. The one he's with didn't even live here. But she's here now, and they've been together for years. And I'm just like, some of the things that he would say to me when he would call, it was just like, something is off. And speaking of that, you'll know a guy is interested in you genuinely when he sits down, creates space, go out, you go to lunch, dinner, whatever, and you're sitting down and you're engaging, you have eye contact, you're talking, he's following up with text messages. I know he's not interested, he just wants to hook up. When he acts like, that's what the 10 friendship year old guy, he would call me and he would act like, oh, how's it been going? How's B. Wiley been doing? How's your books? And something in my gut was like, he's just acting like he's interested. He's not listening to me. He's just setting me up to lay me down. And yeah. I'm telling you, ladies, you have to be mindful. You have to be self-aware. You have to know who you are. You have to know the energy you're giving off. If you're giving off this single, lonely, desperate, because since the two guys have known me, I've been more single than not. And so it's almost like they're just waiting in the wings. I know she's single, so I'm going to talk to her and act like I'm into her. And the other guy was into me. I just wasn't into him. I'm going to wait. And to me, it was so mind-blowing that a guy will wait 15 years to pounce. And when he's decided he's ready, he's going to go in. And that's just not the kind of guy that women need to surround themselves with. And women need to quit saying that these guys are their friends. If you don't want to be with them, I don't think you can be friends with them. Simple and plain. How so? He's still attracted to you. He's not going to lose the attraction unless you just become hideous all of a sudden, which you're not. So you just have to be mindful of who you're calling friends. And if he's your friend, you don't sit up and talk to him every day. You'll see him out and about and you'll catch up with him at the grocery store. But outside of that, it just can become dangerous when a guy isn't raised with self-discipline. I teach my son, he's 15. I teach him, number one, he's a black man, a black boy. So I have to teach him, that's a whole nother thing, a black guy in America. But outside of that, he's a football player. He's tall. He's in shape. He's chiseled. And it's just like people can look at you as a threat. You might see a girl that you like. What if she doesn't like you back? What are you going to do? Are you going to beat your chest and get angry? Are you going to football tackle her on the floor? What are you going to do? No, you're going to say, all right, I'm not for everybody, and move right along. And if we instill this in our boys, we have to instill it, not just Black boys, but just boys across the world. If we instill that in them, like, hey, you're not for everybody. If she doesn't like you, let it go and quit leading with sex, because sex and all this builds up when you're a teenager. It starts really early and boys start discovering themselves. So it's on us as the parents to teach the boys and the girls, but we're talking about boys here. Hey, look, don't get involved with the self-pleasure thing. Don't get involved with watching pornography, because whatever you feed will grow. So if you continue to masturbate, you continue to look at pornography starting at 12 years old, what kind of animal are you going to be at 18 if no one's stopping you, if you're doing this every day? And then you see the girl with the short skirt at Walmart and you decide you want to touch her butt. Then what? Because you have the right to do it because no one's ever told you don't do that. It's like men and boys really need to learn self-control and discipline, and really need to understand that just because you want something doesn't mean it has to want you back. And so what that she doesn't want you back? It's not the end of the world. It just means she's not for you. And that's my monologue for right now.
100%. Okay, so there's a couple things that I picked up on. Okay, so number one is, so obviously there are a lot of guys who play this orbiter role. Have you ever heard that term, orbiters?
Oh, I'm writing it down.
Yeah. So orbiters are guys who hover around a woman waiting for an opportunistic time to make a move. And usually it's like, you know, they wait till she's single or something, but here's the common thread with orbiters. Okay. And I'm just going to be real honest about this. My audience knows I don't make any bones about this. I just say like it is. These are usually beta men who are too afraid to speak their truth. They're afraid to say up front, you know, I want you. I don't want to be your friend. I want to date you. And then put that on the table, right? And then let her either say yes or no. They wait because they're afraid of the rejection. So they orbit, right? And so this sounds like that, right? Now, to me, this is so common. This is so common. And why is it common? Because men who are not walking in alpha mentality, they are so afraid of rejection that they will not just speak their intentions truthfully, right? And it's actually in our best interest to be truthful as men, right? Yeah. To just say, hey, this is what I want. I don't want to be friends with you. I want to date you. Are you interested in that? And then now, but then that comes with the fear of rejection, right? But a lot of men don't want to face that fear. And it's scary. But to your point, this is, and I talk about this all the time, we have to face that fear. It's in our best interest to face that fear. We're not alpha men if we don't go after what we want, right? Yeah. If you see a pretty attractive woman, it's in your best interest to shoot your shot. If she says no, okay, you move on. You find another opportunity. You just go on about your life, pursue your purpose, right? And then you go on, and you don't get all mad about it. You might feel a little hurt, might be a little bummed out, but it's like, it's not the alpha way to get all bent out of shape about this. The alpha way is to just say, you know, I wouldn't want so. And you said it, in fact, I don't want someone who doesn't want me anyway. Like, that's not a good match. That's not the right match. And then if we keep getting rejected, then we have to be reflective on this. We have to think, why am I getting rejected? Is it because all the women in the world are stupid? Or is it maybe because my attraction metrics aren't high enough, maybe to attract these types of women, right? So we have to work on ourselves, you know, level up your status, your physical athleticism, level up your money game, level up your leadership abilities, learn to be a strong man, a formidable man who can also, set boundaries and enforce them with kindness and respect, right? These are all like alpha mentality traits. And so it's in a man's best interest to do this, but men, this is counterintuitive to men because they're so afraid of that rejection, right? And they think like, oh, I just have to avoid the rejection, which is actually not true. I sometimes say this phrase, I say, you should trip the biggest wire in the room, right? That this is sometimes something I say. So it's like, if you're in a room with a beautiful woman and you think to yourself, I would love to maybe date her, then it's like, that's the biggest wire. If you trip it, she rejects you. It's like, well, may as well trip it first thing, walk right up to her and shoot your shot, right? This is actually in your best interest as men, rather than being to your detriment. But it seems counterintuitive because of the fear, right? So the orbiter thing, though, it sounds like these guys were orbiters for you.
Yeah.
Totally sounds like it, right? And that's not very attractive for one. Women don't tend to be attracted to those types of men. Because another thing is that these men, it's like a guerrilla tactic, right? Like they it's like sneaking in the back door. They pretend to be a friend first as a means to maybe gain access. But this is another beta tactic, right? This is like indirectness. This is not being honest. This is not coming right out and saying what you want. But this is a symptom of the beta mentality. Now, what is the beta mentality? It's a life characterized by basically letting your outside circumstances and your emotions dictate your actions rather than choosing your actions rationally, despite your circumstances and your emotions, right? So these men who are in beta mentality, what happens with them? They get rejected. They react to the feelings. Mm-hmm. And this is pure chaos, and utter chaos, right? And that's what you were experiencing. Sounds like complete chaos, just like willy-nilly all over the place. Didn't know what to expect next. Yeah, no rhyme or reason. Or like you said a couple of times, you use the word discipline, which is absolutely true. That's the antidote to the chaos, right? To have discipline. Yeah. Like I call it alpha mentality or alpha discipline or even stoicism. It's all the same thing, right? It's just like learning to be in control of our emotions and to be in control of our faculties as men. Now, with that being said, have you ever experienced a guy taking rejection like in a positive way? Have you ever rejected a guy and then had it, you've been like, wow, he was actually a gentleman about that. He took it well. He did that well.
I don't think so.
Really?
one guy comes to mind, and I was, my side hustle is working for Uber and Lyft. And I remember I picked up this guy, I think it was just last summer, and he was going to get his car from the shop. Great conversation. We're just talking. He kept using my first name. I like when people, they're really connected when they keep saying your name in conversation. I find that interesting. I don't do that, but a lot of people do that. And so then he asked me for my card, because I tell people if they ask, what else do you do? I give him my life coach card. He ended up emailing me. Now this man is, he just realized since the pandemic had happened that he's bisexual. So he likes men and he likes women. He was very open about it. And I'm always down for people living in their truth. Do not hide who you are. And so he ended up, I didn't think he liked me, but he emailed me. He emailed me on the card that I gave him. It was, if I could have written down an email on how to approach me through an email, it was that. It was so good. And I was like, but I like men who like women only. And so that was the deal breaker. And I wrote him back and I told him, hey man, I love everything about this email. It's perfect. It's how you shoot your shot, reach out, address, engage with the woman. However, I have the right to say, I don't want to date a man that is bisexual. And so outside of that, and he just took it, he was just like, I don't even think he responded. I don't know. He could have been punching the pillow when I responded to him that way. But I don't know how. I don't know. But outside of that, guys, they'll typically say, when I say, no, I'm good, they'll typically say, okay, well, can you have a friend? Or can, it's always some kind of follow up. Like, just take, no, I'm not interested. Like, no, I'm not interested. Don't come back with a follow up question or suggestion or recommendation.
It's like they're trying to sell you on it. Like you're like, no, no, I don't want it.
That's exactly what they're trying to do. I don't want it.
And then they're like, it's on discount right now.
That's hilarious. That's exactly right. And I also think, because I wrote while you were talking, it made me think, men who can't take rejection. So when they can't take rejection, what they'll do is they'll go for their lower hanging fruit. And I did a video on Facebook about men who only date from one kind of pool of women. So let's just say there's literally a swimming pool and there's this specific type of hearts in our eyes. Okay, hearts in our eyes. Whenever I say hearts in our eyes, I've been saying it for years. That means you're infatuated, you're naive, and you weren't really taught how to engage and date and what that looks like when he's into you. So when you see this guy, you see butterflies and hearts. He can do no wrong. You're all into him and you know nothing about him. So there's this men, they choose from this pool of women. I think the guy that I described, the 15-year guy, I told him specifically, actually, I got a lot of content from him, actually, with his women. Yeah. I'm telling you, that was the a big friend. I'm telling you, I got so much content from him. And then this one in particular was, I told him one time, I said, you know what your problem is? You date from the same pool of women. You date from the women who don't know their worth. They have low self-esteem. They're desperate. They're tired. They are probably unhealthy because all they can think about is a man, no matter what. Yeah. They're not working on themselves mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically. They're not working on their hobbies, their crafts. They're not spending time with their children. They're doing nothing but worshiping men. And that is the same kind of woman he would pull from. He would run. It's 15 years now. Every woman that he's ever dated, he ran her by me first. He was like, well, what do you think about her? So he'll tell me about her, because we were actually friends on one angle, but then he was actually trying to be sleazy on the other angle. So it was very strange. But when he was really my friend, he would tell me about these women until then I found out, oh, I'm just looking for a carbon copy of you here. And then we're off the rails again. So it's just like, ugh. But when he was being my friend, all these women, they were all similar. He had like a standard type. He didn't want makeup. He didn't want weave or wigs or extensions. He wanted and there's nothing wrong with being a woman that doesn't wear wet makeup or extension, anything like that. I'm just saying, this is what his thing was. And he wanted them to really look up to him as the highest pinnacle in life, the best man they could get. And so what he would do is he'll manipulate them with flowers. He had the same go around. He'll buy them flowers. He'll not try to sleep with them and be like, make sure they know I'm not trying to sleep with you. I'm trying to do the opposite. It's a manipulative tactic to sleep with the girl. And he'd have all these things and all these
girls. Did he tell you about that? Was he like, yeah, that's my tactic? Really?
Yeah. After, from knowing him for 15 years, when we first started, because we were casual at first, but then when that was cut out, we were literally just friends, because he did get married at one point and we keep in touch. And then he's a truck driver, so we talk every day. And then I have Uber, so I gotta have a lot of time on my hands to talk in between rides. So he went from being really tight-lipped, he didn't tell me anything, so he spilled the beans. Why? Because he trusted me. He knew if he told me something, I'm not gonna go blabbing it out on social media and telling everybody. I might use it as content, but I would never say his name. Even yeah, now, I wouldn't.
You're not going to tag him in it. No, <it's>
like... Right. That's hilarious. And so, yes, he would overshare. And that's when it comes to the sexual stuff. He would literally tell me stuff that's so cringy. It's so cringy. It literally, if someone tells you something, and this is going to be silly, but I'm saying it. If someone tells you something, you're sitting down and your butt cheeks clench, then it's cringy AM. And that's how he would make me feel when he would tell me all this crap. And he did it in a way because he was trying to get me to want him. And it's just like, no, bro, I'm creeped out. I'm grossed out. Get away from me. I'll beat you off with a stick. And so that's why a lot of men, what they'll do, because they are scared of that rejection, they will go for the low hanging fruit. They will go for the women that are naive. How do I know? I was naive for so long. Oh God, I was naive up until like 5 years ago. And then once I got myself together and I worked on myself, I realized, you know, this is what naive looks like. This is what being thirsty looks like. This is what being desperate looks like. So if you're listening to this and if you don't know you're desperate, the signs of being desperate is that you meet a guy and you're Google Gaga and you don't even know his last name. And then when you find out his last name, you put it on the end of your last name. And now you're planning all these kids in this house and you're crazy. So that's with depression. Some of the signs of the depression, I mean, not depression, with being desperate looks like. And we don't want to be desperate because we don't have to be desperate.
I heard this quote one time that I feel like fits perfectly with this. And it was a really good quote. And I don't remember who said it. I think I saw it on an Instagram post, but it was so on point. And it said, you're not a player because you can get desperate women to love you. Ooh. That's called being a predator.
Oh, right? That, it. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah. And, it's like, it's so true. Cause some men will think, oh, I'm such a player, I can get all these women. But it's like, no, the women that you are engaging with, they're not, you know, like you were describing, they're not in a healthy place. They're not working on themselves. They're like desperate. They're feeling hopeless. You know, they want love so bad. That's not being a player. That's called taking advantage of somebody's like emotional state. Right.
Yeah.
And so, because if you were in a healthy place, you would want someone who's in a healthy place, right? Someone who has that figured out, right? So that's like and that's actually an alpha mentality trait. That's one thing I tell when I coach women, I say the two things, like at the very least you have to look for absolute deal breakers. Guy has to be living in alpha mentality, which means he, you know, he's working on himself. He's minding his business, getting his money, pursuing his purpose in life, leveling up mind, body, spirit. And number one, and then number two, he has to display genuine desire for you. Not just like you, and you said it exactly, not just like a booty call at 1 a.m., but actually want to spend time with you, invest in you as a person. So it's like, if these two things are not there, doesn't matter how great he might be. Nothing else matters because these two things, because if that alpha mentality thing isn't there, that's exactly what it could be. It could be like, does he have any standards? If he doesn't have standards for himself, he's not going to treat you to a high standard or expect high standards. And that's just a recipe for disaster, right?
Yeah. So I know you said that whole thing that you said that men will try to sell themselves to you.
Yeah.
That was perfect. So in your opinion, if a man is approaching a woman, trying to talk to her, she's just not into it, or she's married, has a girlfriend, whatever, how is he supposed to react to being rejected? What is he supposed to do?
So that's a good question. And my way of handling it and the way that I believe it should be handled is like this. And it actually comes down to a principle that I talk about all the time. And I especially tell people this, my coach, is never let someone they don't want you, or never let someone tell you that they don't want you twice. And this is a principle that I believe in. So if I talk to a woman, if I approach a woman, I'm like, hey, how's it going? And then she either lets me know subliminally, like, you know, usually women will let you down with a soft no. They will, they'll try not to be rude. They'll try to make some kind of excuse, or they'll try to create distance. And then you know it's a no, right? So then you just go with it. You just say, okay, yeah, cool. Hey, have a great day, right? And then this is how to gracefully disengage. Now, if you actually ask her out and she's like, no, if she says something like, oh no, I have a boyfriend, right? This is a soft no. It doesn't actually matter if she has a boyfriend or not. The fact is that she's not saying yes, right? So to me, this is the principle of, she's telling me she doesn't want me. It doesn't matter why. It doesn't matter, because what she is doing is saying she doesn't want me. Therefore, I want to honor this principle of never letting someone tell you they don't want you twice. So at that point, I'm like, done. I'm like, okay, yeah, totally fine, because I've learned everything I need to learn about it. Now, some men will push beyond that. You know, men in the, like, there's a, in game and in pickup, they have techniques for like pushing past that. For example, the classic example is if a girl says to you, oh, I have a boyfriend. And then you're supposed to ask, okay, but is it serious? Like, and then you kind of play these little games, right? Now, sometimes that can work. Now, I dabbled in that when I was younger, but I let go of that because, and I'll tell you why. And this is the big problem I have with pickup. The reason is because to me, if I am engaging in that, where I'm trying to push past that no, it's like, why? Like, I don't want to have to sell a woman on me.
Yeah.
Like, I want her to want me. This is a fundamental virtue that I want in the woman. If she doesn't desire me, and if she's not living in alpha mentality, these are the two biggest deal breakers to me.
Yeah.
So it's like, why would I want to push past it? Now, that's personally my philosophy on it, right? And I believe in gracefully disengaging. And when I say gracefully, I mean literally on a professional level. At that point, it's professional. It's like I would talk to a client, or I would talk to someone, right? So to me, that's the level you keep it at. And it's not even friends. I've also had women say, and this is just me personally, when you said, I don't think men and women can be friends, that's a very hotly contested topic. And I agree with you. I think the only way they can actually be friends is if there's really no sexual interest, then they can be friends. But if there's sexual interest, it muddies the water, right? It makes it all weird. Or it's the great potential to be weird, like just a step away. So like now, if a woman says, I've had this happen, a woman be like, oh, I'm not really interested in you that way. It's like, okay, she said, but I would like to be your friend. And then to this, I mean, you can treat it case by case, but usually what I say is, look, you're so cool. I'm like, I like you. I think you're so cool. I do have a lot of friends. I have a very full life. Like if you want to try to like pursue me in a friendship kind of way. And I guess you can try to do that, but I'm going to be honest with you. I have a tight circle and it's already full and I'm not really looking for that. I was interested in you as a dating prospect, but that's okay. If you're not interested, totally fine. You know, I wish you the best. It's totally great. Now to me that now with that being said, Brooke, I haven't always been like that. I learned the hard way. I've had some bad, you know, I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a personal story. Yeah. I've never shared this story on the podcast before, but this is when I was younger in the very early days when I was trying to figure this stuff out. When I say early days, I mean, this was right around the time my marriage ended, right? I had no dating experience before my marriage. And then after my marriage, it was like a year of just a crash and burn, right? In my dating life. And that's what partly led me on this journey. But like I had this one girl, she was amazing. She was so beautiful. She was so like talented and smart. And I was so into her. But here's the thing. We were friends. While I was married. Right. And so I would never have made a move on her because I was married and I was like honoring that relationship. But then when the time came that I could pursue her, I did. Right. And I said to her, I'd like to date you. And then she said, I'm afraid that if we date, then it could maybe not work out good and it could hurt our friendship. And I was like, naive me didn't know shit about shit back then. Yeah. And I said, no, it won't. And I was so wrong. I was so wrong. And then we talked for a little bit off and on for a couple of weeks. And then she ended up one night texting me and saying like, hey, you should come over. And then one thing led to another. And this was the beginning of a little fling. But here's the thing. We were both really damaged people at that point. She was fresh out of a relationship. I was very damaged. And it did not take long for us to start hurting each other. Like our emotions got involved. We, you know, started getting triggered. We started saying hurtful things to each other and these types of things. And then it didn't get like nasty, but it got hurtful, right? It got like, and so then I remember I had this really over the top knee jerk reaction to it. And basically, and I don't know why even to this day, my mindset was so chaotic back then. And then Berg, I've never told anyone this story. I've never told the story, but my mindset was so fucked up and chaotic back then. And I was like, and I was so beta. I didn't literally know what was going on. I was just willy-nilly with my emotions. And one day she like tried to have this talk with me about how I was being too clingy and she couldn't handle it, but she did like me because I was being super clingy. That was one of the issues right now. And then my response to it was like, I was so mad at her. And I was just like, you know what? Forget it. I'm done with you. And I just like completely disengaged. I like stopped talking to her. Cold turkey, straight up, literally stopped talking to her. But it wasn't out of a healthy desire to create space. It was because I was so mad. And that was my version of lashing out at her cutting out. And then she was like, wow, you're being really immature. Wow, this really sucks. See, it did ruin our friendship and all these things. And it was just, and then I was just like, no, screw you. I'm not going to talk to you. And it was just and I regret it so much. It could have been handled so much better. That relationship could. And so, you know, this is just one example of regrets that I live with from my older days. Thankfully, I learned those lessons. But the reason I tell that story is because guys, to somehow they have to learn this lesson, right? Hopefully they'll listen and they'll say, oh yeah, maybe that's good advice before they ruin something with a good woman or before they hurt someone. Right. But we have the capacity as men to hurt people. And like this woman, I hurt her feelings. Now it wasn't all my fault, but that was my part in it. Right. And I regret that. I could have done it better. I could have gotten out of that situation with grace and with dignity and said, hey, you know, we're not, you know, I've realized I'm not in a healthy place. I think that you're dealing with stuff. We should back out of this. And that would have been so much better than what happened. Yep. Right? But I had to go through that unfortunate situation to learn that. And that's partly why we're here talking about this on a podcast. So people mm-hmm. can listen and be like, you know, you don't have to crash and burn your life over and over again to learn. You can listen to people who've already done it. and absolutely. Hopefully this will help you. Yeah. So there you go. There's my story. And, you know, I say that to say I'm not perfect. And I come from, and this is why I'm passionate about this. I come from a past where I have really messed things up. I mean, my life hit in 2017 after my divorce, or no, this was before my divorce, after my marriage ended. In 2017, my life hit such rock bottom. I mean, just absolute rock bottom. And I'm sure most people have been there at some point, but for me, that was the lowest point of my life. And it was like, you know, what are you going to do about this? It was a wake up period. I had to decide, you know what, I'm the problem. Instead of blaming everyone else, I had to realize I was the problem, right? And we have to get better.
You say 2017. No, that's me too. The summer of 2017 is when I hit rock bottom.
Was it
and
really?
I'm dead serious. And I was like, I remember the guy and everything. It was the summer of 2017 when I was like, okay. I was literally at rock bottom too. And I realized I was the problem. And that's crazy that you said that, because that, me too.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh. Well, that's good. The thing is, what is that saying? There's some kind of saying that the wise man learns from the experiences of others while the fool learns from his own mistakes. It's mm-hmm. something like that. I think that might be the actual quote. And that's true. You have to learn from others. You're supposed to learn from others' experiences versus having to go through it for yourself. But with us and what we do, it sucks that we went through that. But thank goodness, I say thank God we went through it, because we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing now, which I absolutely love. Now, and first of all, I wouldn't even think that you would be clingy or you
would. I used to be so clingy back then. I was like, because I was so desperate and in such scarcity mindset, right? Just wow. So beta. Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. So let's go from being desperate to dominating, because a lot of men that I've noticed, just in general, not all, want to dominate the woman that they're with. So they want to dominate who they're with and keep her tucked in their little back pocket. But then I love this orbit, that whole orbit thing. I love that. But then they want to orbit around the woman that knows who she is and that will challenge him. I've noticed that's a thing, because with those last two experiences I had with those two guys, they both had that going on. They mm-hmm. dominate the women that they're with and the women that they're dating, but they see me as a challenge. But they've had an opportunity in the past to pursue me romantically, seriously, and they chose not to, but now they want to orbit around. So I'm not understanding that. Because even with the 15-year-old guy, he was like, he told me in serious conversation, he was like, because I was like, what are you looking for? Because these girls that you're just dating, they're just all over the place. And he was like, I'm really looking for a carbon copy of you. And it doesn't make sense, because there's a lot of women that are similar to me who know their worth, who out here grinding, working, taking care of themselves, taking care of the kids if they have them, and they're single. And so I'm not understanding why a lot of men are choosing to dominate this girl, but then you have what's ready and available. However, it's going to challenge you to evolve. Why are men not choosing the one that's going to challenge them? Why are they afraid of that is my thing. But they want to be, but yeah. They want that woman. They want to have access to her, but they're not trying to commit. So what is that about?
So like, okay, there is a thing where women who, I think the best way to say it is you could almost relate it to intelligence, like intelligent women, but that's not quite right. It's more like women who carry themselves with a certain amount of formidable, like there's a certain amount formidable and competent at something, right? In a general sense, this is especially with professional women, like, or women who are in leadership positions. I think this is especially true. So these types of women, there's a certain thing when you're dealing with a woman like that as a man, it's tempting. It's a lot scarier to think of being rejected by a woman like that. It's a lot scarier for some reason. I think it's because if you're not careful, you can almost like, so in every relationship, in every pair, I talk about this in coaching all the time. There's always in every, with heterosexual couples. Now with gay couples, it might be a little different. It's a little bit different, but I don't specialize in coaching gay couples. So it's, you know, I don't know, but with a man and a woman dating, it's almost like polarity. It's like a battery. There's a positive and a negative. But what I mean by that is there's always one who is a leader. And then there's one who's a follower always. That's how, if there are two leaders, it's going to be, they make butt heads. If it's two followers, they're going to be confused and they're going to feel like listless and it's going to feel directionless and it's going to be scary. So generally speaking, there's always one of them who's a follower and one is a leader. Now here's the thing. This dynamic gets weird if the guy, when the man and the woman come together and he's naturally inclined to fall into a follower position, that has the potential to create a very strange dynamic where he's afraid to make a move on a woman. This has been my experience in life. Okay. So now, and I'll tell you a little story, and this won't be as long as last one. This one time I knew this woman who was a bit older than me. She was, you know, 6-7 years older than me probably, but we had a really good friendship and there was like there's a little flirtation and there was like the possibility that it was going to be like, it was like we had the sexual tension and we were going to maybe explore it, but nobody was making a move. Right. And I think now back then, this is the period of my life when I didn't know what was going on, but she was kind of a leader in a community I was in. Like I was in this community for a little while, these people hanging out and talking, having great conversations, like friends and stuff, but she was kind of a leader in this friend group. And so whenever I was with her, and now later on, I realized this, I always associated her with being the leader of that group. And I would naturally fall into a follower position when I was with her. And it made it so mentally difficult for me to think of making a move on her. So this was the default, is I was always like, oh, she'll make a move if she wants to. Why? Because she's the leader. But women want the men to be the leader. That's a fairly, I mean, it's very rare to find a woman who wouldn't agree to that, in my experience. Most women would agree. Would you agree? Most women want that.
Whoa.
They want the man to be the leader.
The new school women. There's like this new generation of women that are very much masculine. And they want to be the man. That's just my opinion. You asked me, so I'm giving you my opinion.
What do you feel like the cutoff age is for that group? Like, if you had to pin an age range on that group, what would you say it is?
That are like literally wanting to wear the pants. It's definitely mid-20s to, oh my goodness. Oh, maybe. I don't think in the 40s women so much think like that. I mean, there are some, but it's definitely, I'll say mid-20s to, I think maybe mid-30s or late 30s. I don't think it crosses over to 40 and up. Because what I'm seeing now, especially on social media, is women like acting like men. They're talking like men when it comes to having sex. They're, I don't know, it's just masculine to me. And I'm just like, okay, so you want to date, but you're talking so hard. It's like, there's nothing feminine about what you're saying. There's nothing soft and delicate. And it's just like, do you want a man or do you want to be the man? I'm old school. So the man has to pursue me. I'm not shooting my shot at anything. The last time I shot my shot was probably back in 2017, literally. And he dogged me completely out, worst case scenario. And so it's like, no, you don't shoot your shot. You don't lead. It's he who finds a wife. And it's like, he sees you. And a lot of women, we get so scared because we're desperate and we're thirsty for a man that it's like, well, maybe he's shy. That's another thing. That women have come to me like, well, he's shy. I don't care if he's shy. He's a man. And I always use Beyonce. Beyonce is universally amazing and beautiful and fantastic. So I always use her as my example. If he saw Beyonce, he had access, as she's single, if she were single, not with Jay-Z, and he had access to reach out and talk to her, do you really think he'd be like, oh, I'm shy. I'm going to let Beyonce come and shoot her shot. Absolutely not. He'd be jumping through rings of fire, burning buildings, whatever he has to do to get in her face and shoot his shot.
The message being kind of, and this sounds harsh, but if you were worth it to him, he would make the effort.
Okay. I'm going to have to write that one down. Oh man.
But no, and that's such a common thing. Women say, oh, what if he's just shy? And then my answer is always, doesn't sound like alpha mentality to me. It sounds like beta mentality, which what's the two bottom line criteria? Needs to be alpha mentality and needs to be genuinely interested in you. Those are the two criteria. Yeah. It's a hard one because it's like, well, if he's, I totally get you. In my experience, going back to the women being, we're kind of bouncing around here, but this is such a cool topic. Women being like more masculine. Okay. So I noticed this too. I notice women being like this. Now here's my experience and tell me what you think about this. I'm gonna bounce this off you because I have quite a bit of experience, but obviously there's a lot of experience I haven't had. When I'm with a woman who seems to be kind of more like, let's say like she's more like, let's use the term masculine. So she, she maybe has a more aggressive demeanor. She's like a go-getter. She's aggressive in many different areas of her life. Right. But here's what I notice. I notice that when she's honest and she's alone and she's being vulnerable, she will confess, I just wish a guy would take charge. I wish I could meet a guy who would be a leader for me because I have to be this leadership woman in all other areas of my life. I don't want to have to do that with my man. I want him to take the lead, right? This is what I find is pretty universal. Now, so in other words, what I say is I think a lot of women put up this like masculine front because they have to do that to succeed in so many areas of life. But what they actually secretly desire is for the man to take the lead in the relationship. What do you think about that?
A masculine front mean that you're emotionally unintelligent. Like, why do you have to be take it from me. I have a 15-year-old son, he'll be 16 this year. His father is not in his life, period, point blank. So anything we do here in St. Louis, anything that I do, it comes from me. Anything he gets, it comes from me, period, point blank. I have to get up every day. I have my clients. Then I have my side hustle. Then I have to be present for him. Then I have to be present for myself. All this beep I have to do each and every day, all day. That doesn't mean that I'm going to get on here as Coach B. Wilder and say, look, hey, this is what I want. Woo, woo. Why is that attractive? No wonder she's single, because she's masculine. No, absolutely not. Sure, I don't want to do all this stuff that I have to do every day. Absolutely not. I want exactly what you described. I want a man to come in, not Captain Save-A-Hole. No, I want him to come in and help balance this boat out, because the boat can be sinking sometimes. And so I can hold my own and he can hold it down and we can balance it and we can live happily ever after. But that doesn't mean that I have to give forth less than feminine energy just because that's what I want. Because that doesn't sound right. It seems like it's kind of conflicting.
I think it's in a woman's best interest to lean strong into her femininity. I believe on the dating marketplace, it's in her best interest. I also don't think that women get that message in our culture very much from very positive places. I think they're made to believe that they should act in a more masculine and aggressive way. I feel like because of the messaging in our culture. Are you still there?
My phone is, where's my charger?
Oh, we're running.
Oh God, it said it was at 5%.
We're using up the juice. We're using it up. Right. But I totally agree. I think it's, if a woman wants to succeed on the dating marketplace, it's in her best interest to lean strongly into her feminine power because it is so powerful. The feminine is so powerful.
Well, we don't think that. We think, and that's the thing, it is. But when we try to lead with that masculine energy, it's like, we don't want to connect with our emotions. And this is a side note. What I tell women when they're going in first time on a date, if you know you're dating with the intention to be married or be in a long-term relationship, why don't you say that? Like, why are you afraid to say that to a guy? Because the guy isn't afraid to say anything. If he says, hey, I'm just going to go with the flow, he's going to say, hey, I'm just going to go with the flow. If he's saying, hey, I'm dating multiple people, he's going to come out and say it. And he's not going to beat around the bush about it. And that's one thing that I don't like about women. We do have power, but why are we watering or simmering our power down just to get a guy to be with us? When it's like, if you can't be open and honest from the gate, what the heck are you going to do during the course of the courtship and relationship or situationship or whatever it is? Like, don't hide who you are. When you hide who you are, that means you're disconnected from your true emotions. I used to be like that. I used to act like, hey, we'll just go and see what happens. So we on this boat that's going on the highway to hell, because that's where we're going, because you're a manipulating bastard. So that's where we're going. I don't want to go to hell. So I'm getting off this boat. Yeah. And so now it's like, if I were to, well, not now, but if I were to go on a date and the guy were to say to me, well, what are you looking for? I'm going to tell him straight up, I'm dating with the intention to get married. That don't mean I'm about to marry you. That don't mean I'm thinking about marrying you. I don't even know you. It just means that's my goal. That's my goal. And it could be with you, or it could be with the dude that I meet tomorrow. It's like, women, use your voice. Why are you so afraid to use your voice? But then we're so vocal when it hits a wall, and when the guy just is all over the place, then now we want to get vocal. But if you would have set boundaries and came in and let him know, hey, this is what you want, you wouldn't even have to be yelling and going crazy and being toxic. So just be you. At the end of the day, if women are listening, whatever women are listening to this, you just have to be who you are. And if that's not what he wants, okay, move on. Like I tell my clients and on my videos, ladies, you're an acquired taste. I know for sure I'm not for everybody. I don't need to be for everybody. I remember a guy that I was with for 5 years, believe it or not, who told me that I need to straighten my hair. Are you crazy? I'm not straightening my hair. So if you don't like my hair, then fudge off. And that's what he did. And it's all good. And you just have to have that. I tell my clients all the time. I'm trying to scoot this over to plug my phone in. I tell them all the time. <You're fine. laughs> you have to adopt an I don't give a F mentality. So if they don't like you, if they don't choose you, if they don't want to be with you, if they want to cheat on you, I don't give a F. And you move on with your life versus trying to force all this nonsense and do all this big talking about what you're going to do when you do nothing. Then you're sick, you're sad, you're crying in the corner. It's stupid. Stop being stupid. And I'm telling you that because I had to stop being stupid. And only then was I able to elevate to who I am now. And I'm still evolving and I don't have it all figured out. But I'm telling you, who I was in 2017 was, I don't even know who that person was compared to who I am today. It's like night and day. And I've shot my shot at a guy before, I remember. And it had been since 2017. It was maybe in 2019 or something. I don't really remember exactly. But I thought this guy was kind of sending me some little signals. Well, then I tried to shoot my shot. He wasn't interested. He didn't even call me. He didn't give a crap. Did I go cry in a corner? Absolutely not. I moved on about my day and I quit shooting my shot at men. If he wanted to talk to me for real, he would have came up to me and said, hey girl, I want to talk to you. What's your name? And it wouldn't be all this mixed signal stuff. So ladies, just cut the crap, be who you are, quit leading like you have a penis in your pants and tap into the other P so you can have a good day.
No, the feminine is so powerful. And I tell this to women when I coach them, I'm like, okay, like understand this, men literally like form entire groups online. They write books. They do all the stuff to try to learn how to be more successful with women. Why? Yeah. Because they value them so highly. And they'll say that they don't, but it's like they do. And this is, there's evolutionary reason for it. The other side of the human spectrum. And when we come together in cooperation, we create our greatest opportunity for thriving. And it's just, yeah. And there's a lot of power in that. But okay, now coming back to this, we're gonna bring it around to a close here to this, how to handle rejection from a woman.
Where'd I go?
There you are.
Yeah, I plugged in my, sorry. I'm sorry that the camera is shaking.
It's all good. It's fine. This is all good. We're just going with it. We're doing it. So if you were going to summarize this kind of for the men, right? As a woman, if you were like, you know, if I'm, and maybe we should actually preface this by saying, why does it matter? Why does it matter? Here's why it matters. It matters because as a man, as an alpha mentality man, we want to have self-respect. We want to act with integrity. We want to hold our head high. Like if a woman rejects me and I get salty about it, what does that say about me? That tells me that she has power over me.
Yep.
Which what's even more important than that? It's not even that she has power over me. It's that then I do not have power over me. And what is that? Giving away your power to the chaos, right? So men, this is why it matters. This is why. But with that being said, Brooke, if you were going to give some tips to men, how to handle rejection with grace, what would you like to see? Just like straight up.
You know what? Side note. Mm-hmm. Because I've had these recent experiences, these two experiences with these guys, and then I'm witnessing similar experiences just out and about with other women. It's turned me off from men. I'm not saying I'm turned on to women. Nope, absolutely not.
Not quite yet. No. Give it a couple more, maybe.
Yeah, I want to be clear on that. But it has really turned me off from men. Me personally, I know all men aren't the same, just like our women aren't the same either. However, but there is such a big pattern and there's a shift in men and men's behavior and men wanting to beat their chest. And I don't like it. My thing is, if someone is not interested in you, hey, grow a pair. You got them. Grow them. And just decide, all right, she's not the one for me. Because what is it really like to be a guy and to come on strong to a woman and keep coming on and at her and being aggressive and inappropriate and making her feel uncomfortable? What does that do for you? Like something, there's a disconnect to me. If a guy just keeps coming on strong with the woman that's just clearly not interested, like there's something wrong with you and you need to do something about that. And it's just simply not attractive. What is attractive is a man being a man and saying, all right, you know what? It was a pleasure meeting you. Have a good day. And that's it. For the love of God, let it go. Don't go and get a baseball bat and bust our windows out in our car. Don't slash her tires.
Oh,
don't
my God.
Backhand her.
Has someone broken your windows out with a baseball bat? Okay. I was going to say, oh, my God.
Oh, my God is right. If someone did that. Oh, my God is right. You would see a whole different side of B. Wiley. That's when the killer instinct.
Oh, there you go. We were talking about that earlier. Everyone's got a killer somewhere in there.
Yeah, that's where she would be. And so, no, but I'm just saying, man, look, we're all here. We're for who we are. And if they aren't for you, be okay with that. Me personally, what I would used to do when I would be rejected from guys, typically it would be emotionally unavailable guys. And I would just try to force it. And I think back on myself when I used to do that, because that's me being rejected by them. They don't want to come out and say it. The thing about a guy is he ain't just going to come out and say, for the most part, hey, you're ugly. Hey, I'm not into you. Hey, no, get away from me. I'm going to beat you off with a stick. Nope. He's just going to kind of maybe be nonchalant, maybe send a mixed signal or something like that. So I know when I was low-key being rejected and I did what I like to call the green light means go, the more he rejected me, the more I was like, ooh, that means I need to go ahead and put the foot on the gas. It's just not good. And it can really screw you up emotionally and it can mess up your psyche and make you feel less than. So the best thing you could do is do you. Work on yourself. Work on why you get so riled up when someone doesn't like you. Like, why are you entitled? Why do you think you're entitled to whatever you want? Because whatever you want don't want you. Like, you need to get that in your heads, fellas. When you're thinking about it, when you're looking yourself in the mirror, you got to let that ego go, because that ego can really blow up a situation. And you also have to think about, I wrote this down. Think about, what did I write down? It was something about you need to work on your delivery. Like when you're approaching your approach, your delivery, and then you need to make sure you don't have any hidden agendas. Are you really just talking to her because you actually like her and want to get to know her? Are you trying to make sure that your cousin or your brother, or your best friend who mentioned her doesn't get her? Like, what is this about? Are you genuinely interested, or is this a competition, or are you just trying to sleep with her? It's just all this stuff you guys have going on. So the long story short, when you're being rejected, let it roll off your back and move on to the next person, because you never want to force anything. Because if you're forcing a conversation, what are you going to be forcing later on? And that can get really dangerous. And I'm serious when I say that. That can get dangerous. So we don't want to be in the danger zone. Let's stay in a happy place and just let it go and just say, hey, it's her loss. If you have to say that, just be toxic and say, it's her loss.
Yeah. Well, well said. I love it. I love it. And I think, okay, so I think that the part where you're like, you know, where you say, if you, what did you say? You said something like, man, I don't remember exactly what you said, but it made me think the marketplace doesn't lie, right? It's like in the business marketplace, when you create a good product, it's going to be successful. People are going to buy it. If you create a product nobody wants, no one's going to buy it. You're going to go out of business. The same is true in the dating marketplace. And this is hard. This is a harsh reality. And this is true for everyone, men and women. If you're not getting good results, why? Well, it's probably because you need to work on your product, which is you. You need to work on yourself. If you are in there going in the right direction and you're deploying the right dating skills, you're going to see momentum. You're going to see progress and good results from that. And this tells you that you're going in the right vein. But a lot of men, they want to blame women. They're like, these women, they're all shallow, this blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, women are the marketplace. Like that women literally decide who it comes right down to this. Women are the aspect of humanity that decides which genes should propagate and which ones shouldn't. And that's their function. This is part of the reason why we've become so evolved, is because women are selective maters. This is not true of our cousins, the bonobos and the chimpanzees. They're not selective maters. Humans are unique in this. Women play a vital role in human evolution by trying to choose high value men, the highest value they can attract. And so as men, we just have to understand this principle. We have to say, you know, if I'm not getting good results in the marketplace, I need to just retreat for a minute. I need to go back to the drawing board. I need to work on my value metrics. I need to lose some weight. I need to build some muscle. I need to get some money. I need to work on my social skills, work on my status, these things, right? And you don't have to go crazy. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be like the best of the best. You just have to be, and as I always say, be 1% better every day. You'll start seeing results. But we have to look inward. And like I said, in that story I told earlier, like I realized I was the problem. So one of the hardest, but best things I ever realized, because once I fixed that, I got on a track to have a better dating life. And to today, dating is not a problem. It's a pleasure. I enjoy women. I enjoy spending time with them. I can be in a relationship if I want. I can be single and date if I want. It's just the world is my oyster. Why? Yeah. Because I've put that work into myself and I understand it well enough that I can have an experience that I label as successful and fun and positive. And so it's like, this is what we all want to arrive at. But I never, ever would have even been able to get there if I would have kept blaming women or if I would have kept blaming outside forces. I had to realize, you know, I got to get this product up to snuff so that it's desirable. Right. And that's the whole thing. So that's self-responsibility, right? This is, so well said. Amazing. I love it. Excellent advice. All right. We're going to wrap it up here. B. Wiley, you got any final words of advice before we close it out?
Oh, another one in the books. So, you know, man, look, just stick to who you are. Just stick to who you are, what you believe in. And it's okay to shoot for the stars, but sometimes when you shoot for the stars when dating, it's, you don't get a shot down. So don't stay down. Don't have a frown. Get back up. I just made that up as I'm saying it. Back up and do what's required. And the whole working on self and you saying, because at the end of the day, when you have these not so good experiences, you're the common denominator. Everybody can't be just dogging you out or doing you wrong or bad people. No, you're attracting, you're entertaining this kind of person. So why are you putting out that kind of energy? So take a look at yourself. Sometimes it's what I like to say in the last collaboration I did with a young lady in Ireland, I told her that I tell my clients to take a pause for the cause. So if you're continuing to hit a wall when you're dating, if you're continuing to get rejected in these relationships, maybe you need to take a pause for the cause. All that means, you're taking yourself out of the game and working on your mindset. Mindset is everything. You're working on your mindset and all things in between, getting yourself up to snuff. That is so funny. That saying is so funny. And then putting yourself back out there, the best version of you. So that's it.
I love it. Great advice. All right. B. Wiley, tell the audience where they can find your work. We're also going to link to your stuff in the description, but where can they find you? Where's the best place to find you?
Okay, so you can look for me, Coach B. Wiley, on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. And what you also can do, if you want to ask me a quick question, it's completely free. You can go either on any of those social medias, in my DMs, comment, whatever, or you can go on Qura.com, Qura.com, search B. Wiley. Just search B. Wiley, you'll find me, and then you can just ask me a question. You can be anonymous. I'm not going to say, hey, this is Mike Jones, and he just got cheated on. Of course not. I'm not going to say that in the video. I'm not even going to say your name. I'm just going to have the question that you have for me, and then I'm going to put it on my YouTube. And so the best place to find me when you want quick, instant dating, relationship, communication, breakup, insight is TikTok. It's 3 minutes or less. So go there. And of course, I have my books. Hello, My Name is Single, Ready to Mingle. That's my first book, Successfully Solving Single. And I have other books and free information on my website, Coach B. Wiley. And last but not least, I'm working on another book, and it'll be out this year before the end of the year. It is a breakup book, and it's all about how to handle a breakup. Whether you didn't see it coming, you did see it coming, and you're just being bitter and emotional, you don't want to receive it. If you want to punch the person's lights out because they've wasted all your time, so you think, whatever it may be, breakups can be hard to do. However, this book can get you through that breakup into your single season in a healthy way.
I love it. Awesome. And once again, those links will be down below, and check them out. Make sure you go check out B. Wiley. Show her some love, show her some support, because she's awesome. You're everywhere. You're on Quora. I didn't even know you're on Quora. You are killing it.
You gotta just, hey, I don't know. You just gotta do it.
Oh, I love it. You're a content machine. I love it.
I am, apparently.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. Go with grace. Never give up your power. Until next time, this is Josh Segafis and B. Wiley signing off.
Peace out.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to visit www.joshuasegafis.com. Catch you on the flip side.